I haven't talked to my wife too much about this, but I did have a dream about the two of us. In this dream, I was reminded of a lot of things that I remember from my childhood growing up in the mountains. We live up in the San Bernardino Mountains, where I grew up. And in my dream, I remember showing my wife how much water there was in the creeks that surround our community. We have two creeks on both sides, the north and the south. And they were always full of water. And some of them, you know, at certain times of year, they were actually relatively dangerous to try to cross. But this hasn't been the case for many, many years now. In fact, right now, one of those creeks that I'm talking about is dried out completely. There's literally no water in it. Some of it actually goes underground, but it's not the powerful rushing creek, or back then we called it a river, because it was, for us, the biggest, most powerful body of water anywhere near us. You know how dreams go. You know, didn't make sense. But all of a sudden, we were somewhere else, in the field behind our home that we live in. We actually live in a place where there's wilderness on three sides of our house, and then we have a neighbor on one side. And all that wilderness that surrounds us is, we called it the field growing up. And I used to go out there a lot and catch snakes and lizards and have a good old time. And when I was a kid, right time of year, I remember catching dozens of little tiny horned lizards. We know those as horny toads or horned lizards. And I used to find them all of the time. And I just had a blast doing that. My grandfather used to take me out, and I'd go catching these little baby horned lizards. And sometimes I'd catch big ones. I remember when I was about 10 years old, I was hiking by myself on one of the hills by my house, and I caught a really big one. It was, you know, big. It was exciting. And I've been looking out for these things in times past. You know, in the last 10 years or so, I haven't seen one in our canyon where we live. It's not the same anymore. And so it was interesting that I had this dream. It started getting me to think about the way the canyon used to be. There's not as many trees up there anymore. In fact, there's a set of large cottonwood trees behind our home that are completely dead now. Probably because of all the mistletoe, but the drought probably was what also took them out. But it's just not the same as it was when I was a kid. And it's disappointing. We're witnessing now, you know, part of the end times. We're witnessing the decline of ecosystems. We're watching the species loss. You know, species are disappearing. Those very same lizards I mentioned, horned lizards, there's three species in California that are endangered, and one of them is critically endangered, so much so that there's a lot of work being done to conserve them. And it's sad to witness this. It's sad to see the decline in the physical creation. It's sad to see the decline in the ecosystems that we depend so much on. And so, you know, as we were celebrating Thanksgiving today, it was just my family and my mom, and I was kind of showing my mom all my frogs. I have frogs from all over the world, and I was saying, well, some of these, you know, are endangered, and it got me thinking about what I'm actually thankful on that day of Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm thankful for creation. I'm thankful for all of the awesome creatures that God created, but the other thing that I'm thankful for is restoration. I'm thankful for the restoration that will come when Jesus Christ returns. So that's what I want to talk about with you. I want to talk about Jesus Christ, the Restorer. You know, we call Jesus Christ our elder brother, our Savior, the Creator, but he's the Restorer. He will restore creation. You know, there's a lot of scripture we could look up to find out that Christ is the Creator. You know, he, together with God the Father, made everything that we know around us. The physical world, the solar system, and then the myriad of biological organisms that live on this planet, plants and animals. And it's an awesome creation. In fact, Christ declared it that it was good when it was done. So he made it all. He made everything. And even in the Bible, it says he made it with his hands. I'm going to read a scripture really quickly that confirms that. You don't have to turn to it. But this is Isaiah 45:12. It says, I've made the earth and created man on it. I My hands stretch out the heavens, and all their hosts I commanded. So, you know, we learn from the scripture that, you know, Christ literally created the world that we know and all the living creatures on it with his hand. Now, there's certainly a lot of power there that we don't fully understand, but that's what Christ wants us to think. He wants us to know that he created it, and he was directly involved in it, and it all is here because of him and the work that he did with his Father. Now, we can learn about Christ as creator in Scripture. This is, to me, the most important creation scripture there is in the Bible. I'm going to turn to John 1, John chapter 1. So let's have you turn to John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Now, this is, I think, the most fundamental creation scripture to have in mind. So John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. You're probably well familiar with this scripture, but it's powerful. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So this is a beautiful description, giving us some insight into the relationship between God and the Word, Jesus Christ. Now, we get confirmation later on in verse 14 that this is indeed Jesus Christ. Let's read in verse 14, in the same chapter, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the glory begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the very same Greek word here for word is used for the Word. The Word became flesh. So indeed, Christ is the creator through the authority of the Father, and I think they work together in an intimate way to make creation, God the Father and Jesus Christ. But the aspect, of course, I want to focus on is restoration. Restoration. Now, there's scripture in the Bible that talks about restoration, and there's different ways to consider restoration, what that means. But after receiving the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter gave God's command to humanity to repent and be converted. We can find this in Acts chapter 3. We're going to turn to this one. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. So Acts 3, verses 19 through 21. In these scriptures, Peter talks about a time of restoration. And this is the time that I'm so thankful for and that I thought about in the day of Thanksgiving. So, verse 19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." Now, this is fascinating. This time of restoration is prophetic. I think God and Jesus Christ knew there would need to be a restoration. Now, there's a lot of things here we can talk about, again, as far as restoration goes. We can talk about the restoration of the relationship between man and God, which is happening now. You know, when an individual repents and receives the Holy Spirit and forms a strong relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, that's a restoration between that individual and God, and that's a beautiful thing. We look forward to when the entire world restores that relationship, or Christ restores that relationship with everybody. We have the restoration of the nation of Israel, the removal of Satan and his influence on humanity. All of these things are a part of restoration. But I believe also the element of the recreation of the many lost species that we've lost in modern times. You know, most of you know me. I'm really into herpetology, and I'm involved with it. It's part of my life. I teach a little bit of it at the school where I teach. And it's just fascinating. I have a passion for it, and I love it. And it's sad when I hear of a species of amphibian that is no longer on our planet anymore. It's gone, as far as we know. You know, When something goes extinct, it's a real difficult thing. We don't really know for sure. We just can't find anymore. And then sometimes we get lucky and one pops up. But we're seeing cases of this all over the place. I mean, there's been recent headlines about the polar bears, and there's some documented photographs of emaciated polar bears, and they're in certain places they're struggling. Their numbers are declining. And that's a sad thing to witness. But I believe that part of this restoration will cover these things. I believe the species that were lost will be restored upon the return of Jesus Christ. I think this is much of what needs to be done when he returns. And the restoration of ecosystems and the environment. You know, the ocean is not in its best health. We have epoxic zones where there's certainly no oxygen in the water and life can't exist. And those zones are growing over time. And we have situations of populations with fish, and the decimation of the shark population in the ocean causes ecological problems in the future that we don't fully understand. That's the problem with ecology, is when you change an environment, we don't really know what the long-term effects are, and we only have to sit back and wait and see what happens. And that's unfortunate. But when Christ returns, the ecosystems will be restored. Species will be brought back, even the ones that we didn't know we lost. And that happens with the destruction of portions of the rainforest. Rainforests are so diverse that we may have unknowingly destroyed a species that's just specific to one little canyon, one little part of a stream, and it's never been documented, and we never knew it was there. Even those things will be restored. And this is awesome. So it seems like this would be a great challenge. You know, I asked the question, you know, how is this going to be done? I mean, there's so many problems. You know, things are in such a mess. How is this going to work out? Is Christ up to the challenge? I think we know the answer to the question. Most certainly yes, even though it is a daunting task. You don't have to turn to the scripture, but I'm going to read a short scripture to kind of make the point. You know, Jesus Christ is up to the task of restoring these creatures to our planet. This isn't a part of Jeremiah where God is actually doing a couple things here. He's encouraging and scolding at the same time. He's talking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was instructed to purchase land from his cousin Hanamel, but the land was occupied by the Chaldeans, and he was really nervous. And so this is part of the dialogue that takes place here. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says this, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And, you know, there's the question. We know the answer to the question. No. Christ is powerful. You know, he's the God of the Old Testament. He's the creator. He made everything that's flesh on this planet, and he made all the plants, and he created the physical environment that all of those living creatures live in. And he understands every little detail. He knows when you change one little thing in an ecosystem, he knows what impact that will have in the entire system in the long run. And that's something that biologists are still, to this day, studying. So Christ, when he returns, has the power to restore these things. The lost species of lizards, amphibians, the fish that are gone, and even the things that we don't know about, they'll return to us. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's several subspecies of tigers that are extinct now. We don't have them anymore. These things will be restored. So we know God and Jesus Christ have the power to do this. Well, what about human life? We have a really good example of the restoration of physical life, and that's in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 5 through 6. You know, I'm concerned about these lost species. It's important to me. I'm concerned about ecosystems. But what about humanity? What about physical life? So let's turn to Ezekiel 37, verses 5 through 6. And this will kind of give us a pretty graphic feel for how Jesus Christ is going to do this. So Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 5 through 6. It says, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, the God of flesh, will restore physical human beings to a physical life. We also believe that, you know, we will be resurrected to a spiritual existence as well, a spiritual body, a glorified body. And that is truly beyond comprehension. So unfortunately, because of the world's separation from God, because of the consequences of sin, we're experiencing a decline in many of our ecosystems. We're losing species. And, you know, there's a lot of well-meaning people that are working on conservation projects. I'm included in that a little bit. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. I think it's a positive thing to try to protect the environment. You know, I would do what I could to protect the canyon that I live in and maybe bring it back to what it was when I was a kid. But I know that someday it will be restored. When Jesus Christ returns, we'll get the water back to the creeks that are to the north and the south of our community. I will see the horned lizards come back. I will see all the populations of the animals that I grew up. You know, I will see the mountain like it was when I was a child. Maybe I'll see it like it was when my father was a child when he grew up there. It's going to change. Everything's going to change. And think about all the problems, the ecological problems across the globe. Jesus Christ is a creator. He's our elder brother. And he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot for us. But I like to think of him, and I did think of him on this Thanksgiving Day. I'm thankful for the restoration. I'm thankful for the restoration that's coming upon his return. And so I just have to say, give thanks to God in Christ for the blessing of restoration.